Thank you for that. So, good morning again, everyone. It is, as always, a great privilege to look at God's Word with you all. Before we carry on, let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are here with us. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, and I pray that there'll be a freedom for you to speak to us now by your Spirit. Lord, may we hear your words as we look at David's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Who knows who these characters are? Just raise a hand. Yeah, some of you. Yeah. So I used to read their books, and it's probably because I read those books that I could speak some English today, growing up in a very Afrikaans community. But they are Asterix and Obelix. And they are, for those of you who do not know them, they are fictional characters who live in a small village in ancient Gaul where Julius Caesar, or at a time when Julius Caesar and the Roman Empire wanted to take over the whole known world. They are fictional, by the way, as well, I think, right? Yeah. Anyway, but Asterix, these guys' village are one of the last places that the Roman Empire can't take over. Right, they are the one place that they can't invade because they have this magic potion that gives them superhuman strength. Okay, that's a pretty good gift to have if you want to fight off, defend your village, right? So that makes them essentially unafraid of anything in the world. There's just one thing that they are afraid of. And those of you who know this, shout it out. They're afraid that, yes, that the sky will fall on their heads. That's the one thing they are afraid of. Now, I want to start with a question. What is the silliest thing that you've ever worried about? You don't have to say, I'm going to tell you a couple of mine. So, when I was younger, I always thought that quicksand would be much more of an issue growing up. Yeah, anyone else? Yeah? Quicksand? Funny story. The same about bubble gum, actually, chewing gum. So I once accidentally swallowed chewing gum when I was about 10 years old or so. And all my life up to that point, I was told that if you swallow chewing gum, I don't know if you've heard this, just raise a hand if this sounds familiar, but if you swallow chewing gum, your intestines get tangled up and you die. Yeah? You've heard this? So it's not just me. Phew. Okay. So I accidentally swallow this chewing gum, believing this, right? And I'm in a state, I run to my mother. No, actually, I slowly walk to my mother, just tears streaming down my face, just having to say my final goodbyes because I don't know how much time I have left. I'm not exaggerating, I am serious about this. And she comforted me and she told me that you'll be fine, you'll probably not die anytime soon. And she was right because here I am. But I have still been careful not to swallow chewing gum since then. Anyway, now I may have been worried about something really silly, but David was worried about something very real. Real danger. Saul, King Saul, wanted him dead. King Saul sent out men to capture him and to kill him. He had very good reason to be afraid and worried. Do you think? It's not a bubblegum chewing gum issue. It's very real danger. And David explains in great poetic detail how bad his situation really is in today's reading. In verse 4, he says, he is in the midst of lions, living among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows with sharp swords for tongues. That is terrifying, a terrifying idea. If you think in pictures, I will excuse you if you want to take a moment. Verse 6 says, people trying to trap him in snares and pits. And so it is very helpful for us. That is a very extreme scenario that David is describing. And I really hope and pray we never face anything like that. But because it's so extreme, it makes it really important to look at how David reacts, how he manages the anxiety and the fear created by this very real danger. And the first thing he does is, of course, turning to God. In the midst of his danger, he turns to God. Verse 1 to 3 is basically David crying out to God and giving the reason why he is doing so first. why he's not trying to solve the issue and then thanking God later, but why, right in the midst of his anxiety and danger, he turns to God first. In David's view, and this was based on his personal experience, God is merciful, God is loving, God is faithful, and God is powerful. And he knows this to be true because God has come through for him in the past. Do you remember David killing lions and bears while he was a boy tending sheep? Do you remember that? Yeah, so did David. Do you remember David facing the giant Goliath and an army with nothing but a slingshot and a couple of pebbles? Do you remember that? So did David. And it's because of that that he turns to God first. He knew that God is merciful, loving, faithful, and probably more appropriate in this situation, that God is able to help him, to save him, regardless of his circumstances. But here's the thing. David also acknowledges that he is in mortal danger and that he is rightly worried for his own life. He acknowledges the danger. He acknowledges the anxiety. He acknowledges the fear. And it's really important to note, because David isn't just saying, it's not that bad. It's nothing really. I'll be okay. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I am in real danger. I am really, really scared. He acknowledges the fear and the anxiety, as well as the cause of it. But he doesn't remain there. He doesn't remain in that place of anxiety, fear, danger. He bursts out into a song of praise. He bursts out into a song of praise. Now, I have never been in mortal danger, as far as I know, except for that one chewing gum experience, but we've established that's not a thing, really. But I've never been in mortal danger or in a place where I had to be so stealthy because my life depended on it. And I can't imagine that singing songs of praise is a good way forward in those kind of circumstances, right? Like, if you really have to be really quiet so no one catches you, singing a song of praise is probably not the way forward, right? Do we agree on that? Like, I'm hiding in a cave, really quietly, because people are out to get me. So I'll just sing a song. Yay! Like, I don't know if that's the way to approach this situation. I'm not even sure that he actually sang a song, but David sings. He writes a song, even if he doesn't sing it immediately. Verse 6, right in the middle of David's description of the people out to get him, and verse 11 is essentially what we would call today a worship chorus. This is what it says: "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Verse 8 is a call to worship. "Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn." Verse 9 and 10 is a public declaration of God's character. "I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples." And he goes on, "For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies." Now, as I mentioned, I'm not sure awakening the dawn with songs of praise is the best course of action when you're hiding for your life. But the result is that David finds peace and security in remembering and in the knowledge of God's character. Even though he has every reason to be anxious, David finds peace and security in knowing who God is, right in the midst of his anxiety. Verse 7, he says, "My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music." So here is what we can learn from David's example. When we are anxious, which inevitably we will be in the course of our lives, probably multiple times, when we are anxious, for whatever reason, whether it's silly or very real cause for anxiety, we can and we must always turn to God in worship. Because it is by remembering who God is and recognizing his glory and his majesty that our anxiety is put into perspective. Now, it is important to remember that worshiping God in times of anxiety and worry is not a way to just avoid the anxiety. We're not trying to say, oh, it's nothing really. I'll be okay. It's not that bad. That's not what we're trying to say when we worship. We need to, just like David did, acknowledge what is really going on and seek help if that's appropriate. But we also remember by singing about and proclaiming God's character, remembering who he is in song and in worship, that he is bigger than anything we can face on this earth. The anxiety may be this big. The cause of the danger causing the anxiety may be this big, but by worshiping God and remembering who he is, says there's someone bigger. Does that make sense? We're not diminishing the anxiety. We're not saying it's nothing. We are acknowledging it, but we are also acknowledging God is greater. That's what we do when we worship. He is bigger than anything I can face on this earth. He is mightier than the most powerful person or authority in creation. He is greater than my deepest fears. And this mighty, powerful, faithful God loves you. This mighty, powerful, faithful God loves you. You. And I want you to know this today. I want you to remember this today and for the rest of your days. The God we sang about earlier, the God we're going to sing about later, the God we hear about and experience a little bit through David's eyes in today's reading, the God we profess sometimes, the one whom we have seen and heard do miraculous things, loves you so much that he chose to die on a cross 2,000 years ago. And the same power that made him rise from the grave is here, fueled by love, for you to experience. God loves you. I find it useful to remind myself of who God is when I become anxious by singing. Songs of worship help me do that, and I'm not great at that. I don't do it every time I'm scared. And that's my own fault. But when I do it, it reminds me who God has been, who he is right now, and who he will always be. It reminds me that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It reminds me that there is nothing he cannot do and nowhere he cannot reach me. It reminds me that he is faithful, even when I am not. It reminds me that there's love vast as the ocean to dive into. It reminds me that the almighty, all-wise God is always worthy of praise and adoration regardless of my circumstances. He is always God. So I have two questions for you today. When is the last time you have experienced God's provision, his guidance, protection, mercy, experienced something of his character? When is the last time you've experienced the character of God? And the next question is, when and why did you stop singing? What made you forget who God is? I finish with this story of a town called Feldkirch. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It's in Austria. Has anyone been there? Heard of it before? Great, so you can't verify if the story is true or not. I'll use it. Sorry. Sometimes you should keep what you're thinking in here. I'm not talking about rugby today, James. Thank you very much. While we're at it, let's address the elephant in the room. Yes, I'm wearing green. I'm a big Springboks fan, and we lost to Australia yesterday, so congratulations. Well done. But New Zealand also lost, and I think that's the bigger shock. So let's carry on. So there was this town called Feldkirch in Austria, in the late 1700s, Napoleon's army appeared in the hills above this town, and the citizens were understandably petrified. It was Easter Sunday, so the whole town was at the church already, where they held a council before the service to decide whether to surrender to the army or whether to defend themselves against inconceivable odds. The pastor rose and said, "Friends, we have been counting on our own strength, and apparently that has failed. As this is the day of our Lord's resurrection, let us just ring the bells, have our services as usual, and leave the matter in God's hands. We know only our weakness and not the power of God to defend us." The council accepted his plan, and the church bells rang. The enemy, hearing the sudden ringing of bells, concluded that the Austrian army had arrived during the night to defend the town. Before the service ended, the enemy broke camp and left. Amazing. You see, when we truly surrender ourselves to God in worship, by doing that, it will always help put things into the proper perspective. When we truly surrender ourselves to God in worship, things will be put into the proper perspective. Our greatest triumphs, as well as our deepest fears, and sometimes, just sometimes, it even changes the situation without us even trying. Or as an unknown author wrote some time ago, sometimes the Lord calms the storm, sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms his child. My prayer today is that every one of us will get to know Jesus so well that no matter our circumstances, we will always turn to God and echo the words of David. "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." So as a final prayer, maybe let's say this all together. I'm going to count to three and we just read the words out together. One, two, three. "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." One more time. "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Father God, thank you that you are who you say you are and that you will never change. Thank you that you are merciful, that you are faithful, that you are powerful, that you are just, that you are majestic, and so many more things, Lord. Thank you that you do not hide from us, but that you are here with us in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of triumph, in the midst of everyday life. And thank you, Lord, that we can freely worship you and surrender to you in worship wherever we are, whatever we are facing, because you are always the same. May we recognize that, Lord, and may we be reminded by your Spirit wherever we go today and in the days to come. To the glory of your name alone, Lord Jesus. Amen.